Good morning all, and welcome to this Q1 report presentation by Artificial Solutions. You will find the presentation that we are referring to today at investors.artificialsolutions.com/Q1presentation. Please go ahead and find that there since we are not sharing it, of course, over the phone. I'm gonna go ahead and start with the first slide, which is slide number two, and just say that the two presenters today is gonna be me, the CEO, and then Fredrik, our CFO. I'm just gonna go ahead and kick right into the meat of it. I wanna first put a bit of a frame around what is Artificial Solutions, and this is now on slide number three. I want to do that in a bit of a different way than what you see here. What we've done in the last quarter is we've moved our position significantly into increasing the market that we can address. We are ending this quarter, the Q1 quarter, with a much larger market, addressable market than we did before, for our solution. I'm gonna explain a bit about what happened there as that ties into this presentation about us, which you see on here. We have now an easy to develop, meaning that both front and back integrations are done, and documentation is available on our website. It's easy for developer to integrate our solution into their solutions. It's also deployed on the cloud of Azure, which makes it even easier to integrate into an environment. We scale to a larger extent than anybody else that we know of, and also that Gartner knows of, up to 4 million sessions a month and one single customer. We have a new team in place, which is gonna be scaling this out in the market. We've also done the first strategic positioning deal, which is a very important deal, although I'm not allowed to mention what it is. The interesting thing that all this ties into the fact that we have today languages to support selling into markets supported by 3 billion people. That's the 3 billion people that make up the largest share of the e-commerce growth in the world. That's why we chose those languages. That is a very unique thing. That leads me into flipping to the next slide, which is about our market. Why is it a big deal to support many languages? The market we're in is called conversational AI. In conversational AI, you have a customer, which could be an internal user, it could be an external user, it could be also a citizen, or a patient. That person comes in and says, "Can you help me?" Or, "I have a question," or, "I need to get this done." There's different requests, service requests, action requests, notification requests. It comes into the conversational AI solution, that is us, and then we have a bot that goes off and tries to figure out, first of all, what does the person want? What language are they using? Again, a key thing to cover many languages here. Are people, places, and details mentioned? We need to extract those. Dates, for example, also. What kind of request is this? All this goes into the conversational AI. It then goes out and actually performs the action. That's the part where it's no longer a chatbot, but it's now called conversational AI. It actually will pull that invoice and send it to you, or it will extend the deadline on that invoice, or it will send you the information you're requesting about your funds, or it will simply help you with a new subscription to your iPhone 12. That is the conversational AI market we're in. It's a big market, $50 billion. To a large extent, that is covered by humans today, but we are gradually moving into more and more software being targeted in this. The driver for that is e-commerce. Again, the biggest growth in e-commerce is with those 3 billion people that we now cover with the languages we launched during Q1. Our operational highlights is the next slide. The by far most important thing we did was with the new model, which we presented in the beginning of the year. We did a very important deal, which is in this new model, what we call LUIS to the power of Teneo, deployed on Azure. The deal in itself is about 0.7 million SEK initially ARR. That's for our developers environment. Then we have a projected three-year revenue, so the ARR in 3 years will be around 6.2 million according to the build-out plans that we have with the company. It's a multinational U.S. tech company. We're not allowed to disclose the name of the company, nor the fact that there's a partner involved that's building this out for the company. But it's highly important in our ecosystem, and it's already being talked about. I'm being bombarded by questions from all sorts of people that happen to know about this, but we are not allowed to talk about the actual customer. But it is known in the market and highly strategically important to us, which is also why we focus this as our initial effort to kick the market off. We also have a second deal, which is strategic to us, and hopefully to be able to come back to that in the press release in the coming few weeks. And then we're fully off into the market. The second most important thing is that we were recognized to be a Microsoft Azure partner, but also as a Microsoft co-sell partner. That's typically something that takes quite a long time to get to. And the reason is, of course, we provide a lot of value into the Microsoft ecosystem with our product. As a co-sell partner, we're allowed to register an opportunity with Microsoft and work together with them on that opportunity, which we've done with a number of opportunities now across the globe. We've also increased and extended the contracts with some existing clients in the financial services industry. This is in Italy. One of the clients is Monte dei Paschi, one of the world, I believe actually the world's oldest bank, certainly Italy's oldest bank, founded back in the 1400s. Interesting with this is that they keep building out on top of the solution, and all three, let's call them mid-sized banks, so not the largest one, but all those three are building a solution which is quite conversational and deploying it into the Italian market. So being ahead of the game there in Italy and extending our, the usage of our software. We also now have 84 official languages, which means that we're by far the most covered languages in the market. Our competition, 90% of the competition is English, and then we have local competitors. You would have a competitor in Poland, one in Romania, one in Norway, etc. But the language market for many languages is very limited. And it basically puts you up, there's a few of the really big ones that are in their 40s, so the Facebook, Amazon, Google, and Microsoft. But again, we work together with Microsoft and extend them, and these 84 languages is quite a key unique capability for us. We were also recognized by the industry analyst firm Gartner and ISG. ISG is an analyst firm which is used very much by procurement. So when procurement wants to decide which company am I going to go after in my RFP, or who am I going to recommend us to talk to buy conversational AI or chatbot technology, then they would turn to ISG. And we've been highlighted there as a leader in intelligent automation, which is what they call the artificial intelligence of interpreting what somebody does, wants to do, and then actually doing it. The second one, Gartner, also very important. They highlighted us as an innovator and a practical software to use. I make it easy to deploy into your own environment. So in combination with Microsoft, we're a practical innovator for conversational AI, which is also quite key for us, as that is where we want to be. We want to be the friends of the people that develop conversational AI solutions. We also finalized the team with the appointment of Marie-Ancille Schoenbeck, Chief Communication and Impact Officer, which of course is going to help me and the company communicate even better to you, the investors, but also to our potential customers and partners and to the market overall. So with that, I'm going to leave it over to Fredrik, and he starts on slide number 6, key financial highlights in Q1.
Thank you, Per. So starting off with the key financial highlights for Q1 2021, I think one of the key events during the quarter is actually that we are experiencing growth in our recurring and usage revenues. So combined with that, we also have managed to reduce our cost base, as we also guided on in the Q4 report. As you probably also have seen if you have read the quarter report. I think we are in this quarter also working with adjusted recurring revenues and net sales numbers. And we have basically kind of prepared this adjusted numbers to better align with the new model and harmonize basically. So in essence, I mean, the purpose with the preparation of the adjusted numbers is to basically provide better guidance on our underlying contracts and revenues, and then also, as I said, to align all way of recognizing revenues with the new SaaS business model. And in essence, the difference occurs in the revenue recognition for usage revenues. And previously, a committed and invoice usage contract by a customer was recognized to 100% at the time of the invoicing, regardless of the length of the contract. And if we then apply the new SaaS business model principles, that would mean instead that we with such usage would be recognizing those revenues as they are consumed proportionally over the lifetime of the contract, or as they actually are consumed. So if we have a contract of 3 years, then we would proportionally kind of recognize that as revenues in 36 parts basically. So that's a way for us to better kind of provide guidance and then also harmonize with our new business model basically. Quickly going into the numbers, net adjusted sales for the first quarter amounted to 12.2 million SEK versus 12.9 million SEK the same quarter last year, a slight decline of 6%. And then looking at the adjusted recurring revenues, and that is then usage, license and support together, for the first quarter amounted to 9.0 million SEK versus 7.7 million SEK the same quarter last year, and that is an increase of 16%. The adjusted usage revenues for the first quarter amounted to 4.3 versus 1.5 million SEK the same quarter last year, an increase of 80%. So a high increase, but then from a low level. And also a key metric for us in also kind of looking at the long-term value in the company is also looking on a rolling 12-month basis. And there we have adjusted recurring revenues for the first quarter of 34.7 million SEK versus 28.1 million SEK the same quarter last year. And that is an increase of 23%. Also, gross margin continues to improve from 60% to 72%. And also EBITDA is also kind of improving as a consequence of our cost reduction program that we carried out in Q4 2020. Also end of the quarter, we had cash position together with unutilized credit facilities of 37.1 million SEK. If we then go to slide 7, please. This is highlighting our kind of rolling 12 months recurring revenues from Q1 2020 to Q1 2021. And we can see then that we are growing recurring revenues from 28 million SEK in Q1 2020 to 35 million SEK in Q1 2021. And that is, as I said earlier, also an increase of 23% on a rolling 12-month basis. And also, as we can see, the usage revenues are growing even further from 7 million to 12 million in Q1 2021. And I think our recurring revenues, I mean, they are essential for us in transitioning to the new SaaS model. And I think also the recurring revenues are, as we now have kind of reported them, are a good proxy of our ARR. So that's kind of the annual recurring revenues, but excluding growth and new customer additions. It also highlights our strong customer relations and also the value in our underlying contracts. With that, I think we move to the next slide, please. So slide number eight. And as already kind of mentioned, we reduced our OpEx with the cost reduction program that we launched in Q4. Now in Q1 2021, we see the full effect of it. So we are actually then reducing our run rate from 178 million SEK in Q1 2020 to 105 million SEK in Q1 2021. And this is also something that we guided on in our Q4 report, as we did significant changes in our operations, basically, and then wanted to give guidance to the market on what would be kind of the expectation for Q1. We are meeting this guidance and have control of our costs going forward and can steer our OPEX as we progress on our longer-term plan. And then also during the quarter, I think we have also kind of continued on recruiting staff in key areas such as product and development, sales and marketing, which are kind of key areas for scaling our business. With that, I'm leaving over to you, Per. So slide number nine.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Fredrik. Yes, so we are very much on our journey to become a global software as a service company. From being a licensed seller with some great global customers, we are going into the world of software as a service. The first part that we needed to do was re-engineer Teneo. So Teneo is our platform, and we re-engineer. You have to move it from nowadays virtual servers into what's called containerized environments, so it's cloud deployable and cloud scalable. You also need, of course, some front and back end developers to be able to connect into the ecosystem itself. All of that was done very quickly, since we already were on the Microsoft code base, and this was completed in February 2021. We then launched the product and the price in February 2021, so middle of the quarter, and we had our Microsoft co-sell partnership signed first or second week of March of 2021. The first customer was deployed already in March 2021. That's, of course, SelectQuote, which we announced already as our first customer in this model. And then we also got the ISG and Gartner recognition for strategy towards the very end of the quarter. And then after the quarter, we signed the strategic client, which I'm not allowed to mention again, but which is very important to us, not purely from a revenue standpoint, but also because of the reputation that that brings in the market. As it is a very demanding client, it's very key to us to be able to show that in the market to those people that do know, and it does spread, of course. Our existing customers, they stay on the old model, at least for 2021. So our marketing and sales efforts, though, build on the two new clients that we have in the new model. So all our pipe build out is on Lewis to the Power of Taleo, the Azure-based software as a service platform that we have. Moving to the next slide, I'm just going to share a bit about those of you who were in our last earnings call have seen this before. We have added now the pricing, since the pricing is now also public on our website. And so you can basically do the math yourself. The left side is, of course, in million second. The right side is in euros. We do charge the same amount in dollars in the U.S. Typically in between U.S. and Europe, there is the difference of 15 to 20% in price. Has to do with the market size in the U.S., so the USD, the fact that it's lower than euro, just gives us that opportunity to price them at the same, exactly the same number, which makes it easier for us and our partners. So we basically model our futures on small customers and large customers. I'm not quite ready to say how many of each we're going to get, as this will depend highly on the market uptake now after this the strategic deal and the second strategic deal that we're doing quite soon as well. So there's a mix between small and large customers. These are just estimates that we use internally to also to get us to a budgetary perspective. A small customer would typically start by paying €7,500 per month for the Teneo developers environment. That's the integrated development environment you need to be able to start building a Teneo. You can start for free, but once you want to deploy this into your own instance and you want to connect it into your backend systems, you're going to need a developer's license. And that's for five seats, and that's €7,500. We then expect a small customer to generate around €2,000 for API calls per month. The API calls cost 0.08 euro cents per API call. Sounds like a small number, but these API calls will scale quite a bit. We then have data, which is basically the capability for customers to search unstructured data, that is conversational data, natural language data. And if they choose to do that in our platform, then they pay about they pay per ingested volume of data, and that will amount to around 10% of API calls in our estimates. This, a large customer, €10,000 per month, they would have 10 seats of developers, €24,000 per API call for API calls. And then to the left, you then see how that translates into real annual recurring revenue once the customer is up and running with the API calls. And of course, you saw that we estimate that it takes 3 years for our new large strategic client to reach a higher level than the 4.4 that you see here. But the implementation time and, of course, the sales time is something that affects the cash flow here as well. So the 4.4 million is not something we get day one. It's something we get as we grow over the client. So I want to dwell a bit more into, on the next slide, the new strategic software as a service deal we've done. It is a statement of the attractiveness of our technology. It is a stamp of approval on our strategy, and it validates the whole technology build-out that we did during Q1. Very interesting with this also is that because it's a very competent organization, they are going to go live already in 2 weeks' time with the first initial application. And hopefully at that point, it will start spreading a bit more as well as customers start to use the solution, as there will be a Teneo to be seen as they use it. But again, we will not be able to communicate it. It is a partner deal, which is important to us. So the partner is providing the services, the partner is building out the use cases. We are not doing that. We're providing the software. We're providing some what we call customer success help, so basically expert services. But that is included in the license pricing. The seat subscription here is slightly lower than our standard because it is our partners have a discount. So it's 0.7, and the seats are, of course, used by the partner to build out. The APIs are paid directly by the customer, and there we see a potential of 6.2 million. So basically, the annual recurring revenue of this one, you can see, is larger than our large model clients, but at the anticipated volume. So quite an important strategic deal for us. Getting to the end of the presentation, I want to reuse a slide that I used at the Q4 earnings report back in Q1. And this is a summary of our new strategy and what it means for US investors. To start off with, our technology has been valued by an independent patent firm to be about $100 million, meaning that if we took our technology and fielded it out on a patent basis, they view the cash flow from that, the discounted cash flow from that, to be worth $100 million. It is a horizontal technology, meaning that it's a tool set that can be used by all different verticals. And it's interesting that we do have manufacturing, we have retail, we have big ticket retail and small tickets, so we have meal planning services in HelloFresh, we have Skoda, which sells cars. So it's being used across many different industries. The growth in the usage of the platform and the usage revenue of the platform is 23% on a trailing 12-year basis. That is quite key to us. We want to keep that somewhere in that region as we move into a software as a service model. It's going to be key to have growth in existing customers as well as little churn as possible in existing customers. We also had already done a cost reduction quite significantly of 41%, which Fredrik mentioned. It puts us on a rolling 12-month of 105 million in cost, which is quite a bit lower than we had before. It's important to us because it's also something that fits with the new model where we get cash later. We are part of the Microsoft Azure ecosystem. We are a company that can both get new customers for Lewis, like SelectQuote, which was not a Lewis nor an Azure customer. But also, if you're already using Lewis, which 1,700+ customers are doing across the world today, it is also very beneficial for you to start using our software, since you will reduce the development time, increase the quality, the amount of languages you can use, and also you'll be able to scale to much higher volumes per time unit. So per month, for example, we're in the 4 million already with one big customer. The team that's come in has already built a software as a service business in the same industry, in the conversational AI industry, that's being valued in the region of 13 billion Swedish. A large portion of the team comes from that operation and has worked with me there. So we're basically, we know what we're doing in this particular industry. The CAGR in our market is about 22.5%. The market is going to be worth $100 billion in 2024, valued at about $50 billion today. To a high degree, it's a replacement market, so it's replacing human-based services with the software-based services, and the growth in that market is quite interesting, which is also why there's many non-horizontal competitors, but vertical competitors in different language zones. So, but we are horizontal, and we cover all the different languages that where the majority of e-commerce growth is coming and where that majority of that 100 billion is going to be. Also quite interesting is that by moving to a software as a service in the Azure cloud, according to the Gartner CO2 calculator, we're reducing the footprint of our solution, carbon footprint of our solution, with 84%. So with that, we turn it over to Q&A, which is our last slide.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from Niels Mollen with PEC. Your question, please.
Yes, I wonder if I want to try this solution. Where do you direct me to?
I'm sorry, I cannot hear that.
Let's try again. If I want to touch and feel this solution, how it is in real life, which website should I visit?
So this is called Teneo Developers. So if you hit Teneo Developers on Google, then you will come directly to the site where you can download it. The actual URL is developers.artificial/solutions.com.
If I just want to see it, how it works when it's deployed, should I go to Skoda or should I go somewhere else?
You could go to Skoda.ie, the Irish Skoda website. That is not geo-restricted, so with that site, it... And if you hover around at the bottom right, then their assistant built on our technology together with Cognizant will pop up and you can interact with her. You can also do it on HelloFresh, HelloFresh.com. I think those will be the best two.
Okay, great, thanks.
The next question comes from Forbes Goldman from Redeye. Your question, please.
Hello and good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I noticed that you added 48 languages during the quarter, and I would like to ask how you're choosing these languages and what is driving this, and also how much training your solution needs to support an additional language.
Right. So the first question, how we prioritize, there's an excellent report by Shopify, which talks about the potential of e-commerce, and we base trying to 52% of e-commerce growth will happen in these languages that we now cover. So we wanted to cover the languages that has that e-commerce growth. So for example, all the Indian languages. That's a very important growth vector now for e-commerce. So we chose that language from that perspective. The actual development to support the language doesn't require as much data as when we then start testing it, which is when we deploy it together with data. So that's when we need language data for it, which we will sometimes have to acquire, or sometimes we do it together with a customer. And since there's so many languages, we did have to acquire some of that data to be able to train and do the initial training, which is the general training. And then, of course, the customer will do the training on their specific utterances and so forth. But we choose them from the potential of e-commerce, as we believe that's most aligned to a population or a potential customer that is growing in the internet space, and therefore is going to be wanting more and more services from customer care.
And great, thank you. And then I have another question. You obviously went for Microsoft Azure, which at the moment seems to be the preferred choice by enterprises. My question concerns your colleagues in the industry, if other companies are doing similar strategic choices and going for a particular software stack.
We haven't seen that so far. So we compete, of course, with Google Dialogflow, but that is Google's own, and they do not have anybody really developing anything on the together with them on the side with them. We find that customers are reluctant to have Google in their ecosystem, since Google doesn't have the best track record when it comes to security and data, which is something that's key to us, and we're also spending a lot of time on ourselves. And then we see in the Amazon space, but it's more that people are building on top of the Amazon Connect platform, which is basically the complete both supply chain and commerce platform from Amazon, where you basically get the Amazon.com experience for yourself, be you a bank, be you a telco, be you something else. But so far, only seen one single deal in Europe of that and a handful in the US. So it's not something that's really flying off the shelf. But I haven't seen anybody of our competitors working in towards an ecosystem. They're all going alone, and they've all have a strategy where they basically provide the solution to a complete as possible solution to their customer, and they get stuck in one vertical doing that.
Great, I understand. So you're building your pipeline now with potential customers, and you wrote that you have a campaign that started going live toward the end of Q1, so I would like to know what this refers to. And I assume you're going for customers that currently are using Lewis, and there are about 1,700 of them. So I also wonder if you could possibly say something about how many of these you would like to reach or gain as potential customers within, a near or medium term.
Yeah, so I see what you're getting at, Forbes. But I will tell you the efforts we're doing at this point, but not sharing any targets in terms of customers just yet, because we want to see first that the message is resonating well, and that we get these two strategic, the one that's already done and the second one that is coming within a couple of weeks. The campaigns we're running are mostly based on LinkedIn. And we're targeting the product owner, project owner, the person that has a budget and a team to build conversational AI. and we target the ones who have already built something. So take a company like Nike, that would be a great target. Nike has built quite a lot of chatbot technology in the past, which means they've seen the limitation. We call them a second generation buyer. That would be a great customer to go with our solution, finding the right person within the teams that have the problem, which is the business is pushing them to provide more faster solutions and more languages and have more scalable. And we can provide that to the existing estate that they have. So when we do targeting, we do not specifically target at this point Lewis customers. However, many of the targets we target are Lewis customers. And the reason I say that is that we can definitely sell to anybody. And in that case, we just get Microsoft with us into the customer, and Microsoft gains a new customer as well. So Microsoft is keen to help on that as well. So to us, it makes sense to sell to both existing customers and non-existing Lewis customers. So LinkedIn campaign, and then the second thing is very much connected to our website. We have companies coming in and starting to use the technology, and this product-led growth is what we want to get a large portion of our sales from, but that's going to take a bit longer than the outreach. But the product-led growth is really important to us because we also get a lot of feedback that we can then use to make our, for example, documentation better, which we've just done. We also added a lot of information into the actual platform. So if you hover above a certain button or a certain drop-down menu, then you will get some explanations on that as well. So product-led growth and then the outreach on LinkedIn. Our existing existing enterprise salespeople are primarily focused on maintaining and building out on our existing large customers. Of course, customers such as AT&T and Swisscom, HelloFresh, etc. They require quite a lot of service from us, and we're very keen to develop with them since they are providing great benefits into the product for the rest of the community as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Per. That will be all from me.
Thank you, Forbes.
The next question is from the line of Malan Radia Hadiam. Your question, please.
Good morning. Thank you very much. A couple of questions for me. The first was, as you've kind of talked to existing customers, some of whom have been clearly very active, and I'm thinking of the Volkswagens and some of those type of large legacy customers or customers under the legacy model, what have they kind of indicated with respect to their plans and the new model in terms of, is there any appetite to use the new model for incremental deployments or retroply? What's the thinking about? Thank you.
So our existing customers, I would say all except for few banks, are very keen to move on to the new model. But it's something that will require planning, and we don't anticipate doing that during this year. So it's something we will be helping them to provide to move to the new model for next year. They can still get the benefits of the latest version of Teneo, which is this one that is containerized that we deploy in Azure. And they can still get the benefits of the front and the back end connectors in their existing environment. But deploying onto the actual cloud is something that's going to require a bit more planning with these customers. So we're targeting that for 2022.
Okay, perfect. And in terms of Microsoft's own activity within kind of obviously adding capabilities through M&A in the sort of cognitive services space, how do you see that? They've obviously announced, you know, significant acquisition of space. Does that sort of help or hinder your kind of relationship with them over time?
So it very much has accelerated our relationship with Microsoft because speech has come into the main stage with them, with many customers. And of course, the Nuance acquisition is focused on the healthcare vertical and very much also on the healthcare vertical in the US. So Nuance is part of, for example, the second strategic deal we're doing. Nuance is a component in that deal. So Nuance has a lot of speech technology, which is used by many of the larger organizations across the world. It's a component we do not ourselves provide. So in that case, we partner up with them. And then the other part of Nuance nowadays is really this healthcare vertical. So what it gave was a bit more or a lot more attention. And then Kane Sims, who is from the same country as you, who I've understood since I called him at that point when he put this out, that the pubs have opened in London, so congratulations. Kane Sims, who is from Booksworld. Booksworld is a, I would say, the number one podcast, and it's also a consultancy providing voice experience consulting. When he put out his comment, he said it would probably have made more sense to acquire artificial solutions to complement for all customers, but of course in the healthcare vertical, this is a perfect solution for building out Azure in there. But it's not targeted towards what we do together with Microsoft in the Lewis space. So it's a different, but it does increase the focus on what we do and us as a company.
That makes sense. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask another question, please press star followed by one at this time. We wait some seconds for further questions. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Peter, to Per Ottosson for closing comments.
Thank you very much. So my closing comments would be, it's a quarter where we did a lot of work to prepare for the future, and we're very much prepared with that, and with the deal that came in after the end of the quarter, it also shows that all this is working. 3 billion people covered by our languages, the team is in place, we've done the first strategic positioning deal. This is where it takes off. Thank you very much all for listening.